beginning Shoftim Perek Yigimel. So this is the beginning of the story of Shimshon. Shimshon will take a couple of prakim, and it's a big story, a famous story. Many of us remember at least, you know, the more famous aspects of the story. So we're not going to get, you know, we have to begin, we have to start with the beginning. We're not going to get too involved in the story tonight, but at least tonight we'll get the introduction in terms of Shimshon's birth, and interesting story in its own right. And then we'll move, as the weeks go by, we'll move a little bit more into the story of Shimshon and his life. So the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, first pasuk says, "Vayosifu bnei Yisrael asos hara bnei Hashem." Of course, as we know, the cycle of Shoftim, that bnei Yisrael continued to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. "Vayitneim Hashem biyad plishtim arboim shanayim." And Hashem gives them into the hands of the plishtim for 40 years. Now the Plishtim are the ones that are persecuting the Jewish people for the 40 years. The Radak, Metzudas David, and some of the Mefarshim here try to figure out, you know, how do you count the 40 years? We'll see. You know, it's sometimes in the past, the number of the years have been between one Shofet and the other. So it's, you know, in between the end of a certain Shofet lifetime and then the whatever nation it was persecuting the Jewish people for a certain number of years. And then the other Shofet comes onto the scene. Metzudas David points out that these 40 years began before Shimshon was born, but they continued into Shimshon's lifetime. Keep in mind, Shimshon is born. It's the other cases that we've had of the Shoftim until now was someone who was already alive, he was already an adult, and now he was selected to be the Shofet. Right? Here we don't have that. Here we have a new Shofet literally coming into the world. Right? So the persecution of the Plishtim is going to continue throughout, the Radak says, you know, throughout a certain time of Shimshon's lifetime. It's not so clear exactly how much. One of the other Mefarshim says about 20 years into his life, you know, the Plishtim are still going to be persecuting the Jewish people. So these 40 years are not quite until, you know, Shimshon comes onto the scene, but actually continue into Shimshon's lifetime, the 40 years.
Rabbi, it says Elon and Avram, they were judge of Israel, and then we go on. Then it says that Israel continued.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that before.
So again, I think the continued refers to the cycle. Like the cycle of the Shoftim, where the Jewish people would sin and then be saved and repent and then sin again. I think that's the continued, I believe. Okay. Pasuk Beis, Vayhi Ish Echad Mitzara. Mimishpachas Hadoni. There was a certain fellow from a place called Tzara, and he was from, the Mefarshim say here, Mishpacha really means the Shevet. He was from Shevet Dan. That's the Shevet that he was from. Ushmo Manoach. His name was Manoach. V'ishto Akara Velo Yalada. His wife was barren. Many of the Mefarshim jump on this, you know, why the double language? Akara Velo Yalada. So some of the Mefarshim who work with the more simple understanding just say, you know, it means the same thing. You know, it's just more explanation. She was barren and she didn't have any children. The Malbim, of course, you know, nothing slips by the Malbim. And the Malbim always, zones in and hones in on any time where you have multiple expressions and different words that seem to be saying the same thing. So the Malbim says that Akara means a woman is currently barren. But says the Malbim, she may have had children in the past. Meaning it's possible that a woman has children for a certain number of years of her lifetime, and then for whatever reason, she can no longer have children. So she's in Akara right now. But that doesn't mean that she was always in Akara. So says the Malbim, that the wife of Manoach was in Akara v'lo yalada, that means she was in Akara now, and she never had children. Right, so that's the understanding. The Malbim also says that it's possible that a woman didn't have children for some other reason, right? Maybe a woman didn't have children because of it was his fault. You know, he couldn't have children, or whatever the case was. You know, so here it's saying no, she was an akara velo yolada. She was barren herself, and she never had any children. Okay. Vayera pasagimo vayera malach Hashem el haisha. A malach Hashem appears to this woman. Malach Hashem appears to this woman. Now we'll see clearly in the Psukim that this woman is not aware that this is a Malach Hashem. He appears in a physical form. As we see throughout Tanakh, sometimes Malachim can sometimes take physical forms. So this Malach appears to her in a physical form. She doesn't know that he's a Malach, but the Navi tells us that he's a Malach Hashem. Vayomer Eileha, the Malach turns to this woman and he says to her, Hine na at akara, you are an akara, you're a barren woman. Velo yaladet, and you didn't, and you never had any children. Viharis, viyaladet bein. But you will become pregnant and you will have a child. Okay, so this, to her mind, this fellow appears out of nowhere, tells her, I understand that you're an akara, I understand that you don't have any children, but I'm telling you, you will become pregnant, you will conceive a child, and you will have a child. He doesn't say exactly when, but he says she'll have a child. Okay, now that itself is a little bit shocking.
What's her name? What's her name?
Good question, we don't know the name.
Yeah.
Right.
She must have happened.
Yeah, she must have been something. It's a good question, yeah. Why is her name? She's Ashes Manoah.
Yeah,
right. Why is her name not not mentioned?
Doesn't say anywhere.
I can't say that, but in the Mefarshim that I saw, I didn't see it. I seem to recall something in the recesses of my mind, but I can't think exactly what it is.
The Bible never tells us.
Well, does it say why?
No.
Me'am Lois doesn't say why.
But the tradition is that it was Zelophonath.
Uh-huh.
Who?
Some say there
who?
Who? Zelaphonath.
Okay.
Zelophonath.
I don't know. I didn't see anything, but it could be somebody talks about it. I'm not sure. It's a good question. It's a good question, Eric. Okay.
So the first one, Lot's wife is not a person either.
Yeah, not exactly. Right. You find that sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Malach comes and he tells her she's going to have a child. Now this is, you know, a little bit shocking in its own right. But then, you know, the next set of instructions is even more shocking to her. Pasuk Dalet, V'yata hishamrina v'yatish t'yayin v'sheicha. And he says, and now I want you to be careful. We'll see what that means, to be careful, in a minute. Hishamrina, it means to be careful, to be cautious. And don't drink any wine or sheichar. Wine or sheichar means, they probably both mean wine. Sometimes sheichar is used to mean like beer. Yeah, now, yeah, exactly. So the Targum Yonasan says yayin means the new wine, and sheichar is aged wine. Chazal say yayin might mean, you know, wine that was diluted with water. Because, you know, and Sheikhar is undiluted, very strong wine. Remember, if you know, those who learned Daf Yomi or learned Brachos, or several Masechtos discuss this, in the times of the Gemara, the wine was very strong, it was concentrated. And they used to dilute it in order to make it drinkable. So that's perhaps the two types of wine. But either way, you can't drink any wine. The Altochli Kol Tameh. And you can't ingest anything that's impure. You can't ingest anything that's impure. We'll see. We'll see in a minute. Well, let's read Pasuk Hey and then we'll come back. Pasuk Hey, ki hina chara v'yoladet bein, because you're going to be pregnant and you'll have a child. And I'm translating this loosely. Umora lo yale arosho, and a razor cannot be lifted to his head, meaning he can never get a haircut. Why? Ki nezir elokim yihyeh hanar min habatan. Because this child will be a nazir from birth. A nazir from the womb. And he's going to be the one to begin to save the Jewish people from the hands of the Plishtim. Okay? So this woman, I mean, talk about like being shell-shocked, right? This woman is, you know, out and about minding her own business, and some guy comes along and tells her she's going to have a child, which in itself is probably, you know, emotionally overwhelming news, because she's an akara and she's never had a child, and I'm sure she's always wanted one, right? So that itself is overwhelming. And then he says, by the way, you know, you have to treat this child as a nazir from birth, number one. And related to that, not only can he not do these things, it's interesting because, well, we haven't really talked about the nazir, right? She's not allowed. That's what Pasuk Dalet says. Al tishti yayin, you can't, you, the mother, can't drink wine, right? Val tochli kol tameh. You can't eat things that are tame. He's shamrina. You have to be careful. Right? So all these restrictions upon her all of a sudden, because she's carrying this child who's going to be Nazir Elokim. And then, oh, by the way, he's going to save the Jewish people. Whoa. Right? So this is very overwhelming news for this woman, but she takes it in stride. She takes it pretty well. Now, interesting question. You know, if you look back at Pasuk Dalet, what's the Hishamrina? And also, what's the Va'al Tochli Kol Tameh? You know, what does this mean? So, we know that generally a Nazir is not allowed to become Tameh Mace. A Nazir is not allowed to encounter Tumah. He can't become impure by contracting, you know, impurity from a corpse. It's interesting, the Gemara tells us in Nazir that a Nazir Shimshon is a little bit different. And the Gemara tells us that we find actually that that Shimshon was Metame Lemesim. And he was a little bit of a different Nazir. We'll find there's one other difference that they say between a regular Nazir and a Nazir Shimshon, that a regular Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, but if his hair gets overbearing, he can trim it, a Nazir. He can't cut it like you get a nice haircut, but he can trim it if it gets overbearing. A Nazir Shimshon can't do that. So what we find in Nazir Shimshon in Halacha is a little bit different than a regular Nazir. And the Gemara says in Nazir that we find that Shimshon was Metame Lemesim, so it's possible that he Shamrina really and Al Tochli Kol Tamei really refers to not becoming Tamei, but it means things that are prohibited to a Nazir. Tamei in this case might not actually mean impure, but it might mean things that are prohibited to a Nazir. We find in the Torah that sometimes, you know, animals that are considered to be what we call treif animals are called animals that are Tamei, right? So that might be the understanding here too. Al Tochli Kol Tamei, don't eat anything that's prohibited for a Nazir. Any grapes or any, you know, grape products and things like that. Some others do understand that it actually means, you know, tumas meis, that she hishamrina, that she had to be careful not to come into contact with a corpse because she was carrying this child. But it's a question that's not so clear exactly what it means. Two fascinating things here is number one, the Malbim says hishamri. He says, what's hishamri? Hishamri has nothing to do with nazirus. The Malbim says hishamri means you have to be careful, you're pregnant. You know, a person who's pregnant has to be careful what they eat, what they ingest. He was talking about regular health, the health of the baby. This woman had never been pregnant before. So in addition to telling her that, you know, he's going to be a Nazir and you have to be careful about all these things, he's saying, listen, you know, you have to be careful just as a pregnant woman to make sure to maintain the health of the developing fetus. So that was an interesting comment of the Malbim. That's how he understands Hishamrina. But what's also fascinating here is that Radak says, why all these things upon the woman? You know, why not just say to the woman, listen, this child's going to be a Nazir from the womb, right? So as soon as the kid's born, you know, he'll be a Nazir. Why does she have to adopt these things? She can't eat, drink wine. She, you know, according to some interpretations, she can't become Tamei Mace.
Only when she's pregnant.
Correct. So why?
Because it's going to the child.
But the child's not born yet. He's not even a Nazir yet. Right? But the Radak says, you see from here, that what goes on with a woman when her child is pregnant affects the child. Affects the child. I mean, we know this, right, to be scientifically true. Right? Obviously, things that a woman ingests affect her child. And, you know, doctors tell women all the time when they're pregnant, you know, that the baby learns to recognize the mother's voice, and the baby gets comfortable with the mother's heartbeat and all sorts of things, you know, that the baby can, you know, understand things. You have, you know, some people, you know, reading books to the, you know, to the developing fetus, you know, maybe the kid will become smarter. But you find, the Radak says, it's very clear that what a woman does affects her child, affects her developing fetus. So since this child was an Nazir Elokim, he was supposed to be a Nazir from the womb, already from conception, she had to be careful how this child developed. You know, you imagine like the Kedusha and Tahara with which Shimshon developed, you know, literally from conception, and we'll see a little bit more about that in a minute, is astounding. But that's what the Radak says. Everything a woman does, ingests, affects that developing fetus. Yeah.
You said that she was told this in advance, but she also was told that certain types of Zira can trim their hair?
No, she wasn't told that. In reality, this a Nazir, there's something called a Nazir Shimshon, which is a Nazir based on the way Shimshon was a Nazir. That type of Nazir has certain differences. She was not told that. But but according to some interpretations, she may not have been told. There's a question, what does Hishamrina mean? Some say Hishamrina means, be careful, don't become Tamei by coming into contact with a corpse, because you're carrying a Nazir in your womb. Other interpretations say no. She wasn't told that because this child is a Nazir, but he's Shimshon, he's a different type of Nazir. It's not a regular type of Nazir. So that's a machlokas, how to understand that. Okay. So Pasuk Hey, we read already. What many of the Mefarshim discuss, interestingly, is the word, the wording at the end of the Pasuk, V'hu Yachel Lahoshias Yisrael Miyad Plishtim. The word Yachel literally, usually, is translated to mean that he will begin. Right, he will commence, or he will begin saving the Jewish people from the Plishtim. It's a little bit of a funny language. You know, why not just say he will save the Jewish people from the Plishtim? Why Yachel? Why he will begin to save them? So Radak gives a couple of interpretations. Number one, he says Yachel might mean because until now, if you think about it, we haven't heard anything about the Plishtim. We're in Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Shoftim. A lot of different nations have been terrorizing the Jewish people throughout Sefer Shoftim. We haven't really heard about the Plishtim, right? So no Shoftim to date have been fighting against the Plishtim. Shimshon's going to be the first one to fight against the Plishtim. That's, you know, one interpretation. Another interpretation is that even Shimshon's Yeshua that he's going to affect from the Plishtim will not be complete. It won't be complete. It's not going to be like some of the other Shoftim where we learned that, you know, the nation persecuted the Jewish people, the Shoftim came along and he wiped the floor with them, and then everything was good for X number of years. Not going to be like that. Right? As we know, that even though Shimshon did defeat the Plishtim, but we find at the end of his life that he wasn't 100% successful. And then Mitzudas David says this also, that all the other Shoftim that we've read about until now, they've defeated the enemy, and they've defeated him completely. Shimshon fights against the Plishtim, defeats them on many occasions, but then at the end, he himself has to retreat a little bit. He himself is not 100% successful. And therefore, that's how the Radak says, some understand the word Yachel, he'll begin to fight the Plishtim. He won't be 100% successful. He's not going to finish the job. But he'll start. He'll start this battle with the Plishtim. The Malbim, interestingly enough, says in a fascinating way, Ki hinach hara v'yoladet bein. Hinach hara sounds like you are already pregnant. That's what it sounds like. Hinachara sounds like you're already pregnant. So the Malbim says, Pashup Shadi says, she was not pregnant yet. He was telling her that she will become pregnant. But he was saying that you have to stop these things now, even though you're not pregnant yet. It's almost like, you know, prenatal vitamins. You know, like they tell a woman who's trying to conceive that she should start taking vitamins to get her body, you know, healthy in order to accept the baby. So it's almost like the Malbim is saying the same thing here, that this, you know, it's Shimshon's not even conceived yet, right? But still, you have to stop what you're doing. Still, you can't already ingest any wine or grape products. You have to act like a Nazir. Why? To get your body ready to have this child in that body. I think you see another thing here also, just the unbelievable kedusha of a woman carrying a child, a regular child who's not a Nazir. Meaning this is because of Nazirus, right? All of these special extra precautions. But you see that there's something holy about a woman carrying a child. This is something sacred. This is something holy. You know, she had to prepare herself. Now again, she had to go above and beyond because he was a Nazir. But even for a regular child, you know, just a woman, you know, the idea of a woman getting her body ready physically, you know, physically, certainly, you know, medically, but even spiritually, to get ready to carry this child, and this child's developing, and everything that you experience and that you ingest affects the child, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, but this is where a little Jewish soul develops, and it should develop the Kedusha V'Tahara. It's an amazing concept.
So where does he start the Nazirus? I mean, he's not yet born. You're talking about 21 years later, then your first...
Well, no, I mean, his Nazirus is starting already in utero, right? He's already a... I'm sorry?
Himself. I'm just saying he's not
Well, I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing until he's born and he's a...
Why are they telling us this now 20 years before he even takes over the Malkuth?
Because this child was sacred from birth. He's not going to be able to defeat the Plishtim when he's 3 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old. Right? So he's got to grow into a man, and then he'll be able to defeat the Plishtim. But the point is that he's growing the Kedusha V'Tahara. He's a Nazir from the womb, which is presumably going to give him an edge, going to give him a zchus, that he's then going to be able to be the Shofet, to be Moshiach Yisrael.
They're not just
going to
tell us that he's 20 years old and that he became the king, you know, he became the Nazir.
Well, let's wait and see, you know, how things develop. But you know, but right now we're in the pre-Shimshon stages.
Stay tuned.
You know, stay tuned. Now, he quotes, the Malamir quotes a fascinating Medrash that says that, you know, and again, the Malbim always sensitive to the language, right? Hinacha Rav Yoladet Bein. So the Malbim says, maybe yet Hinacha Rashi really was pregnant already. Why? So he says the Medrash, he quotes a Medrash that says that already at this time, the sperm was already inside of her, the Zera was already inside of her, right? And now, as soon as the Malach said, Hinacha Ra, right then, the egg was fertilized and Shimshon was conceived, literally. At that moment, that the Malach said Hinachara, miraculously, right at that moment, Shimshon was conceived at that exact time, and that's why it said in the previous pasuk, in pasuk Gimel, v'haris v'yoladet bein, which is in future tense, because at that time she was not yet pregnant, and literally two psukim later, ki hinachara, boom, right away she was pregnant. Right, she had conceived at that moment. That's how the Medrash understands the wording here. Pasuk Vav, Vatavoha Isha, Vatomer Leisha. Okay, so now the man kind of disappears. Right? We don't know what happens to him. He walks off. He disappears. She goes running, of course, to her husband. I mean, this is quite the news. Right? So she goes running to her husband, and she tells him, Isha Elokim Ba Eli. She says, a man of God came to me. Now, why does she call him a man of God? So, many of the Mefarshim say, man of God doesn't mean a Malach. Man of God means a Navi, right? She said, this guy must be a prophet, because he's coming and telling me that I'm going to have a child. The child's going to be Moshe as Yisrael, right? He's telling me I have to be a Nazir. So obviously this person is a Navi. He's obviously a prophet. So that's the Isha Elokim Bo Eli. Umar Ehu Kimari Malach Elokim. She says, but he looked like a Malach, right? He was a Navi. He was physical, but he looked like a Malach. His face was like a Malach. Nora Ma'od, right? Very awesome. Velo she'iltihu eimi zehu, but I did not ask him, right, who he was, where he was from. Ve'eshimo lo higidli, and he didn't tell me his name. He didn't tell me his name. Now, so what's going on here? The Mesudas David says that she thought he was a Navi. She was convinced he was a Navi. Why? Because he looked like a human being, right? So he looked like a human being. He's telling her what's going to happen in the future. She's going to have a child. He's going to be Moshe Yisrael. The guy must be a Navi. But his face didn't look like a regular person. That was the Mar'ehu Kimare Malacha Elokim. His face had a look. He had a look, like an awesome look that she wasn't used to. And so what's this going on with, you know, she asked him his name. He didn't tell her his name. So it says in Mesudas David, she asked him what his name was and he didn't tell her. Right? He didn't tell her. So once he didn't tell her, she didn't ask him where he was from, because she figured he wasn't so forthcoming. Right? Obviously, he doesn't, you know, he's trying to keep anonymous here. So I'm not going to say where, you know, I'm not going to ask him where he's from. The Malbim has a little bit of a different approach. And the Malbim says she wasn't sure if he was a Malach or if he was a man. Right? She saw him. She sees that he is a physical form. That seems to indicate that he's a person. He's an Adam. But, you know, his appearance was that of a Malach. So she didn't know. Is he a person? He looks physical. Is he a Malach? He looks, you know, his face looks strange. Looks like looks awesome. So she didn't know who she was. She didn't know who he was. The other part, it's interesting. The Malbim says that the custom at that time was that when you greeted a stranger, you would first ask him where he was from. He would respond, telling you where he's from and telling you his name. So says the Malbim. That's why the pasuk says, "Velo she'iltihu eimi zehu." I did not ask him where he was from, because that's the question that normally you would ask a stranger. Ve'eshimo lo higidli, and therefore he did not tell me who he was, because he would only tell me who he was once I asked him where he was from. That was the normal course. Then the Malbim says that if you look later in Perek Yud Zayin, when it comes to Micha, you see this type of exchange. We'll see when we get there, but that's what the Malbim says. Pasuk Zayin, she continues with the story. Again, Isha Elokim just means a Navi. It means a man of God. So it means a Navi. So that's what she thought. She thought he was, according to the Masudah Zavah, she thought he was a Navi. And according to the Malbim, she wasn't sure.
Why did she ask him his name?
Why did, well, okay, so, according to the Masudah Zavah, she asked him his name. And according to the Malbim, she didn't ask him anything.
Just where she came from.
Again, one second. According to the Mitzudas David, the way the Mitzudas David understands this is that she did ask him his name. He didn't answer her. Since he didn't answer her, she didn't ask any more questions. Yeah, right. Well, right. But she says, I didn't ask where he was from, right? Because he didn't tell me what his name was. That's how the Mitzudas David understands. I asked him his name, he didn't tell me. So then I didn't ask him where he was from. Right? The Malbim says no, that wasn't the custom. The custom was first you would ask where they were from. So she didn't do that. She didn't even do that. Now why didn't she do that? I don't know. It could be that she was, she may have been too confused and shell-shocked to ask where he was from, and then all of a sudden the guy disappears. Vayomerli hinachara. So this is Pasuk Zayin. He said to me that you are pregnant, v'yoladet ben, and you will have a child, a son. V'yata al tishti yayin v'sheichar, and therefore from now you can't drink wine. V'yata ochli kol tuma, and you can't eat any tuma. Ki nezir elokim yihyeh hanar min habeten ad yom osa. Because the child is going to be a nazir from the womb until the day that he dies. Now, says the Malbim, one second. If you read this carefully, you'll see that there are certain discrepancies between what the Malach told her and what she's reporting. Number one, the Malach said that he can never get a haircut. Okay? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Why? Because, I'm sorry, thank you. She didn't say that because she said he's a Nazir. Right? He's a Nazir Elohim. So that includes the fact that he can't get a haircut. Number two, she didn't say anything about him being a savior. Right? The Malach told her that he's going to save the Jewish people. Right? How come she didn't report that to Manoach? So the Malach says she was scared. Because who was in charge right now? The Plishtim. She was nervous that if she would tell her husband, maybe somebody would overhear her, right? They're going to report to the Plishtim, and the Plishtim are going to come and they're going to kill the kid, right? So therefore, she didn't even say that to her husband that he was going to be the Moshiach because she was so scared of what the Plishtim might do if they find out. And then finally, she said that he's going to be a Nazir ad Yom Osa. The Malach didn't say that. Why? Because the Malach knew that he was eventually going to violate his Nazirus before the day of his death, before he dies. And we'll see exactly when we get to the story, how that happens. But the Malach knew that he would not be a Nazir until Yom Moso. That's what she said. She didn't know any better, so that's what she said.
Well, he was supposed to. If he hadn't said
it. He was supposed to, right. But it's interesting, says the Malach, the fact that the Malach left that out and she put it in. Right?
She said it?
She said to her husband, Ad Yom Moso.
She knew that he was
going to
sin?
No. She said he's going to be a Nazir until he dies. He's not going to sin. Right. The Malach knew that he was going to sin.
Oh, okay.
So that's what the Malach leaves that out. Now, it's interesting. The Malach points out also, and this he quotes from the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. He says that she also left out the fact that the Malach said she was an Akara. The Malach at first, remember, called her an Akara. How come she didn't report that?
What's that?
That she was barren. She didn't have any children. Right? Well, you could say Manoach knew, but, the Malbim says she left that out. Mibnei HaShalom.
She knew it.
Mibnei HaShalom. No, of course she knew it. But she's reporting to her husband now what the Malach said. So she didn't give the full report because Mibnei HaShalom. Maybe Manoach would be rubbed the wrong way if the Malach came and the first thing he said was something almost like an insult. You're an Akara. That might hit Manoach the wrong way. So therefore, Mibnei HaShalom, she left it out. Right? We find in Chazal that you're sometimes allowed to, because of Shalom, you're allowed to leave things out, bend the truth. You're allowed to do these kind of things to Mibnei HaShalom. So that he quotes from the Medrash. Pasuk Ches. Vayetar Manoach el Hashem vayomar. Manoach turns to Hashem in prayer. He davens to Hashem and he says, Be Hashem, Isha Elokim Asher Shalachta Yavona Od Eleinu. He says, please, Hashem, you sent this Navi once, please send them again. V'yorenu manase lanar hayulad. And let him guide us as to what we should do with this child when he's born. Okay? Now, the Mitzudas David says that he was a little bit confused, and the Mabam also explains, he was a little confused because most of the instructions were not about Shimshon, they were about her. What she should do, what she couldn't do. Right? So the Malbim says, you know, they were a little confused. Well, that's okay, great. That's what we should do for you. But what do we do with this kid when he's born? How do we treat the kid?
As a nazir, he said that.
Okay.
Said it.
Okay, good.
Don't cut your hair and he'll be...
Okay, good, good, good. Okay. So number one, they thought maybe this nazirus is a little bit different, right? Because most nazirim are not nazirim from in utero, right? From the womb. So they thought that maybe, you know what? Okay, you're telling us that he's going to be a Nazir, but maybe this Nazir is a little different than a regular Nazir. He's a Nazir already from the womb. Right? So maybe that's different.
Maybe they wanted another Nazir.
Oh. So we find also, the Mefarshim say that Chazal tell us that you see from here that Manoach was an Ama Aretz. Manoach was not a Taman Chacham. Right? Because he's asking these questions, and we see a little bit later, he asks the Malach, like, you know, what do we do? What do we do with this kid? So the Mefarshim say, what do you mean, what do you do with this kid? Look up, look in the Torah, and Parshas, Nasim, and look what a Nazir is, right? What do you mean, what do you do with this kid? So that's what some say, that that you see from here that he was not a very learned person, Manoach. He was a nice person, but he wasn't a very learned person. Pasuk Tes, yeah.
Can a baby actually assume the role of a Nazir? Does he have to wait till he's
barfix? Generally not. I mean, generally, we don't find anything about a... I mean, I can't tell you in Maseches Nazir if we ever find anything.
He has to accept by himself.
Yeah.
But he must be a bar mitzvah.
It's a whole different
thing. The question is, I'm not sure if a parent can accept Nazirus for a child. Mm-hmm. You know, can a father, like, accept Nazirus for a child? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. He might be able to. He might be able to, but I'm not sure. This is definitely a strange type of Nazirus. Pasuk Tes. Vayishma. Yeah.
Listen, hayulod.
Who will be born.
Hayulod means will be born or was born.
No, yulod means will be born.
Will be born.
Yeah, future tense, yes. So Pasuk Tes. Vayishma ha'elokim bekol Manoach. Hashem listens to Manoach. Vayavo malach ha'elokim od el ha'isha. So the malach again comes to her. Now we see again, he's coming to her, not to him. Right? So the Mefarshim say that she was more prepared for a visitation from the Malach. Again, you know, she might have been on a higher level than Manoach. V'yoshevez ba'asadah, she's sitting out in the field again. U'manoach isha ein ima, he wasn't with her. The Mitzvah Seven points out something fascinating here. He says that technically, the Malach had no real business coming back. Right? He wasn't going to add anything. There was nothing additional about this Nazirus, right, in reality. So really, there was no reason for the Malach to come back. The only reason, says the Mitzvah Stavid, that the Malach came back was only because Manoach davened for it. Manoach davened for it. You see the Koach HaTfilah, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Manoach davened, I'm going to bring him. Right? So we see the Koach HaTfilah, that even though Manoach didn't really need this Malach to come back, and his wife didn't really need it, but nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it back, because that's what Manoach asked for. A yetar means a strong prayer, a very strong tefillah, almost like an incessant tefillah. He was really adamant about this.
The father davened also.
Manoach, he was the father. He's the one who davened. Yeah. Pasuk Yud. Oh, so now his wife knows that Manoach wants to meet this guy, right? So as soon as he comes to her, she takes off to go find Manoach. Vatmaher ha'isha v'ataratz v'tageid le'isha. She runs, she finds Manoach, and she tells him, v'atomer elav, he named Yira Eli ha'isha sheba v'ayom Eli. Right? He's back. Right? The man's back. And you see, again, she calls him ha'ish. She thinks he's according to the Mitzvah Stavit, she really thinks he's a man, but Malbim says she's not sure. What's asherba v'ayom? So the Radak says this all happened in one day. So she's saying, he came to me earlier today. He's back. According to the Mitzvah Stav, it says, no, Bayom means that on that day, the known day, meaning that it could be that this was a few days later, maybe even a couple weeks later, who knows. But on that day, the Malach who came, the man who came to me on that day, he's back. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayakom vayelech manoach acharei ishto. So Manoach gets up and he goes and he follows his wife. Rashi says, what does it mean he follows his wife? He follows her advice. Right? She says, come and talk to the malach yourself. He follows her advice. The Mitzvah Tzadik said he physically followed her. He didn't know where to go. She knew where the malach was. He didn't know where he was. Vayovo el ha'ish, he approaches the man, Vayomerlo, and he tells him, Ha'ata ha'ish asher dibarta el ha'isha vayomerani. He says, are you the man who spoke with my wife previously? And he says, yes, that's me. Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayomer Manoach, Ato yovo divarecha. He says, now I see, now your words will come true. Now your words will come true. What does that mean? Now your words will come true? Says the Mitzvah Das David, until now I wasn't really sure, you know, if this was going to really happen or not. My wife told me she saw this guy. He tells her it's going to happen. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't believe her. Don't believe her. Right? I'm not really sure that this is going to happen. But now that I daven to Hashem that you should come back, and you came back, now I know for sure it's going to happen. Right? If I daven to Hashem that you should come back and you returned, it must be that this is really going to happen. So now I have a question. Right? So now that I know that it's going to happen, you have to guide us. What should we do with this child? What's going to be with this child? Right? The Malbim says, Mishpat Hanar means how the child should act. Ma'asehu means tell me a little bit about what this child will become. Right? Because it seems to me that he's going to be a great person. He's destined to be a great person. Why? Because otherwise, why are you coming to tell me so much in advance that this child is coming into the world and we have to prepare ourselves? Obviously, this child is destined for greatness. Can you tell me a little bit about how great he's going to become? That's how the Malbim understands what Ma'asehu.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When the Malach appears, when she tells her husband, Pasuk Vav, Tavahu Isha, Tomel Isha, Isha Lachim. So she's calling him Isha Lachim.
Right.
So when he comes again, okay, Tavahu Isha, the Pasuk Yud, she goes back to saying it's the Ish. Why doesn't she say Malach Hashem?
Why doesn't he say Isha Lokim?
Yeah.
Right.
And he continues in that vein. Next person.
Ha'ata Ha'ish.
Right.
Right.
She already established by saying that Isha Lokim.
Well, Isha Lokim again means a Navi. Right? She doesn't know that he's a Malach. According to the Malbim, she's not sure. She's confused. According to the Mitzvah Zavit, she thinks for sure he's a Navi. Right? So, you know, so why he leaves off Elohim, I don't know. You know, I don't know why. But according to them, you know, it's she's definitely not clear that he's a Malach. She doesn't know for sure that he's a Malach. Okay. Vayomer Malach Hashem Manoach. So the Malach Hashem says to Manoach, Mikol Asher Amarti El Ha'isha Tishamer. Right? So he says, everything that I told the woman, that's what she should do. Right? That's what she should do. The mother has to do this, meaning that I'm not adding anything. Right? This is just as I've told you, that's what you have to do. And here's where the Malbim points out that he was an Am Haaretz. Because you see, he's asking about it. And he says, you know, I have nothing to tell you. You know, it's Nazirus. Look it up. You know? Take out a Sefer Torah and look up what Nazirus is. On this Pasuk, here it's interesting. The Malbim does point out that it's possible the reason why he approached someone. We asked before. I think Aaron asked, "Well, why did he come to the? Why did the Malach come to his wife?" Well, you asked before why. How come it doesn't say her name, right? But the question is also why did the Malach appear to her and not to him?
She was the one carrying the baby.
She may have been a little bit more holy and a little bit more ready to be mekabel a Malach. But the Malbim says. In a halachic sense, and this touches on something that Herb asked before, that maybe if the father was involved, it sounds like almost the father can accept Nazirus for his child. So if the father's involved in this process, then it's almost like the father's accepting the Nazirus for the child, and then if the father accepts it, the father can annul it. But here, if it's just through the Malach, and the Malach is just informing the woman that she's going to have this child who's a Nazir, then it's set in stone. It can never be annulled. She has to do that because this was a special case.
And if he went to Manoach, he would have to do it too.
Not that he would have to do it necessarily, but still maybe she would have to do it. But if he went to Manoach, then it would seem almost like Manoach is the one who's accepting upon his son the Nazirus.
But she
Correct. But it's almost like a neder, like the father's making a neder for his son. The father makes a neder for his son, so then he can annul that neder. Right? So here, it wasn't the father making a neder for his son, it was just the malach imposing this upon the child, and that cannot be annulled. So that's one thing the Malbim suggests.
When the Torah talks about nazir, does it say it's for life? It was, says, oh, 30
no, days. Usually a nazir is 30 days.
How is Manoach, so how is he supposed to know? He's saying that he should have gone, you know, to look into. How is he supposed to know that it was supposed to be that he was going to be a nazir for the rest of his life?
Well, his wife said that. Now, how does she know?
Right. How does she know?
The Malach didn't say that.
No.
But it could be that they just understood that if this child is going to be a nazir from the womb. We're obviously not talking about a 30-day Nazirus, right? This is going to be a lifetime thing, right? This is going to be a lifestyle, right? A lifestyle, you know, a different lifestyle. That seems to me that was what kind of tipped them off. Rav Shimon Schwab has a beautiful thought on this. He says it in his Sefer on Chumash, but this is the Haftorah for Parshas Nasa. So in Parshas Nasa, he has a little piece on this where he says that Manoach was really asking, you know, how do I educate a nazir? What do I do? You know, I see my friends, they have kids. You know, to raise a kid, okay, you figure out how to raise a kid. How do I raise a nazir? How do I raise a kid who's kadosh mi better, who's holy from the womb? How am I supposed to do that? So what does the Malach tell him? Pasuk Yigimel, Vayomer Malach Hashem HaManoach, Mikol Asher Amarti El Ha'isha, Tishamer. Everything that I told the wife, that I told your wife, you also should keep, says Rav Schwab. You also should keep. You also shouldn't drink wine. You also shouldn't be metamei lemeisim. It's a, you should act like a nazir as well, even though you're not a nazir. Why? Because if you want to raise a nazir, you have to act like a nazir. Because a child learns based on the actions of the parent, based on the role modeling of the parent, not just the lectures of the parent and what the parent tells him. Don't eat the wine. Don't be metamei lemeisim. And meanwhile, the father is drinking wine, being metamei lemeisim. Says the Malach, that doesn't work. You want to raise this child to be a nazir in the proper way? Not only does she have to do it, but you have to do it as well. This has to be a joint effort. That's what chinuch is. Chinuch is being a role model for your child and setting an example of what you want your child to be. Such a powerful idea when it comes to chinuch. But that's exactly what it is.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Why the different restrictions? For example, a regular nazir can cut his hair once a year. Shimshon could never cut his hair.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, you know, again, why exactly they were different, it's hard to say. But, Shimshon was different. You know, this was different. This wasn't just a regular nazirus. A regular nazirus is something that someone takes upon himself to increase his own holiness. You know, this was something that was not taken upon himself, obviously. This was something imposed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, on this child, so that the child would develop in a certain way and be fitting to be the Moshiach of Yisrael. You know, this was a whole different ballgame. This was a whole different parsha. Okay, let's just read a pasuk Yedal, then we'll stop for tonight. Mikol Asher Yetze Migefen Hayayim Lo Sochal. And again, the Malach repeats that everything that comes from the grape. She cannot eat the yain v'sheichar al teh. She can't drink wine v'chol tuma al tochal. She can't eat anything tamei. Kol asher tzvisiyah tishmor. And again, according to Rav Schwab, everything that I commanded her, you also should keep. You also should keep, and that's how you're going to educate. Yiras Hashem will pick up next week with the second half of this parak of how Manoach interacts. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yep.